Well, thank you, Lawrence. It is so good to be here today. Listen, I just come for the potluck dinner. That's what I would do. Bring food and people will come. And it is just a joy to be here. I think my pastor appreciation gift to your pastor is giving him an extra a day of vacation so he can come back tomorrow refreshed. So I have done my part for your pastor today, and I am glad to do it. I told Wendell a moment ago that I love coming to the bustling metropolis of Middletown. He reminded me that Daleville's not much bigger, but they have a Culver's now, so you're big time. So there's lots to praise the Lord for, right? And, you know, I praise the Lord for cheeseburgers. So who's going to Culver's after church? All right, I'm going to go. There'll be no line. Well, thank you for being here. Don't you appreciate your worship team? They do such a wonderful job. Thank you, brother. And Lawrence, thank you. I'm going to take you on the road with me, brother, and you can talk to all of our congregations about praying and taking care of your pastor. You do such a great job. And so it's just a joy for me to be here. My wife would be here. But once again, as I say occasionally on Sundays, the grandchildren have trumped you today. And by the way, it's trumped me. But she's hanging out with them this morning. I want to talk a little bit today about listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. That would be a sort of a sarcastic statement. I know we all are aware that there are multiple voices in our world today. I was coming in this morning, and I don't listen to a lot of news. It tends to depress me. I don't pay attention a lot to it on Facebook because it just makes me mad. But you know, you got to catch up. Just listening to the news on the radio this morning, I eventually had to shut it off because the world is full of voices. But don't you know that the Holy Spirit is at work, desiring and wanting and longing to speak into all of our hearts and mind. In fact, as we get ready for revival in a couple of weeks, I mean, I didn't know I was going to be here, but this is a great precursor. I would encourage you as a congregation, and I would encourage you as individuals, to take time out in preparation to pray and listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks into you prior to our time together. Because I promise He is interested already in what He has to speak into you during those days. And certainly it would be true today. You know, the voice of the Holy Spirit is often as uncomfortable as it is sweet. Let that sink in for a moment. You know, a lot of times we tend to regard the voice of the Holy Spirit as appetizing, as pleasing, as tender, as good, and all of those things are absolutely true. But if you've walked with Jesus for very long, you also know that the voice of the Holy Spirit can also be challenging, uncomfortable, disrupting, and even disturbing, because when it comes to His kingdom, God is always, through the Holy Spirit, going to push us outside of our comfort zone. How many of you this morning enjoy your comfort zone? Yeah, how many of you love change? You know, the older I get, I don't like change. I'm in a position where I'm always having to push change and challenge and get folks moving. But when it comes to God and His work, the voice of the Holy Spirit, as He speaks to us about His kingdom, is going to push us out on the edge where we need Him. Church, so often what we do, we don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need His power because we can tend to operate in the natural. I love to do stuff myself. There's a whole lot of things I really can't do myself. Well, in 2013, I think the last time I was here preaching, I shared a little bit of this with you, but in 2013, our pastor was our family, rather, was pastoring in Conway, Arkansas, and we'd been there for several years, 18 years, and we were content, and we were happy, and we were going to just kind of go into retirement from that location, and God had different plans, and He began to call us, the Spirit began to woo us, and through circumstances, He began to shift us away from everything that we were comfortable with, all the people that we knew, all the ones that we loved, all of our friends, 18 years of roots and getting acquainted with the community, and God began to move us and shift us, and ultimately, we moved to Indianapolis, Indiana, to pastor. Now, there's a whole lot that I can say about that. But the call of God in our lives 10 years ago, just to be clear, had more sweetness to it than we have time to talk about. But the same reality is this, that it pushed us beyond our comfort zone and reflects one of the most difficult seasons of our lives. Aren't you glad this morning, church, that even when we go through difficult seasons, the Holy Spirit comes close? His promises are true. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He has this ability to take ashes and turn them into beauty. He has this knack of taking what the enemy is doing to tear you down and use the same materials to build you up. Aren't you glad for that, church? That's the kind of God we have. I want to talk about that this morning. And if you would do this for me one more time, stand in reverence to the Word of God. And if you have your Bibles or your reading devices or whatever, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 1, we're going to talk about Christmas. Can I get a witness? That was a mixed review there. I'm going to read the Christmas story, parts of it this morning, and I'm going to use it as a backdrop to help us understand how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and ways we can be more discerning as we walk this walk. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, Lord, help us as we get into your word just now. Lord, peel away everything that's competing for our attention, and would you help us to hear it like you want us to hear it? And then, God, help us to obey it like you want us to obey it. And then as we walk out of here, help us to live it out like you would want us to live it out. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, here's what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And that prophet said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. May God bless the reading of his word. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, I wish I looked as good as you. Go ahead, try it on. I don't know. Some of you didn't sound so convincing. You can be seated. So I want to give you, you can be seated. I want to give you two facts and one assumption, two assumptions, rather, had that backwards, two assumptions and one fact. Here's assumption number one out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We can assume that Mary told Joseph about her encounter with the angel that we can read about in Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. We'll get into that in just a moment, but Luke deals with Mary's version of the story we read just now about Joseph. So we can assume that happened, and the reason we can assume that happened is that we could also assume that the Immaculate Conception that Mary communicated to Joseph did not go well, because we read in verse 19 that Joseph decided to break off the engagement. You know, I don't know how you view these things, but I wish I'd been a fly on the wall in that meeting between Mary and Joseph. Joseph, I just had an encounter with an angel, and the angel told me that I would become with child, and the Father is the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how you guys would have responded, but I think the two words that would have come out of my mouth is, yeah, right. So we can assume Mary told Joseph. We can assume that Joseph didn't take it well because he wanted to get rid of Mary, albeit quietly. But here's the fact. The fact is that God is patient. Amen? Because we read that he sends an angel to Joseph and Mary. And in verse 20 of Matthew, we read again, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, what she told you a moment ago or today or whenever it happened is completely legit, right? So here we're having this conversation between God and Mary and Joseph. And when you study the passage, practically speaking, it's a lot like the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So here's what I'm going to assume. And I'm going to assume this when I come to your church for revival in just a few weeks. I want to assume right now that the Holy Spirit has already been speaking into you about something. I don't know what it is. I don't know how long he's been speaking to you. It may start today, but we have a Holy Spirit who's always in communication with God's people. So I'm just going to assume today that he's been speaking to you, and if you've not heard him speaking to you in a long time, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will revive your own soul and begin to help all of us perk our ears up. So I just want to give you practically this morning, just to get right into it, five signs that the Holy Spirit may be speaking. I don't know about you, sometimes I get this idea, and I don't know if it's the pizza I ate the night before. I don't know if it's like that book I read. I don't know if I just want to please people. But I'm a pastor. I'm a district superintendent, and the reality is sometimes I don't really know, but I have learned over time that if I patiently wait on the Lord, he'll make it clear. And one of the ways that he makes it clear to Kellerman, here's the first sign, number one is this, that the voice of the Holy Spirit is not random and always on purpose. How many of you have ever thought God told you something and you said to yourself, that is the craziest thing I have ever heard in my life? There is no way the Holy Spirit is going to put me out on that edge. May I say to you this morning, oh, yes, he will. Here's what I think as I view churchdom. I think God speaks to all of us in different times and in different ways, and he's speaking to us and challenging us and moving us deeper and further and higher than we've ever gone before or even want to go. That's just the way he works, and sometimes we disregard it as being the craziest thing in the whole world. But God has his kingdom in mind. God knows that there are thousands of people who need to hear the good news of Jesus. God knows that there are people who will die and go to hell if they don't understand, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Church, God is about the kingdom business, and he will do anything to see your friends and loved ones saved. Amen? So, I told you I'd come back to this, but in verse 22 and 23, we read why the angel was communicating to Mary and Joseph about this pregnancy and about the birth of Jesus. This is what he says. All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. And here it is. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name God with us. I just want to point out this morning that the voice of God, voice of the Holy Spirit, in his instruction to Mary and Joseph, and his instruction to us, is always backed by a grand plan. And the grand plan is that the church, whether it's through a trunk or treat, whether it's a blessing a coffee gathering, whether it's a basketball league, whether it's your daycare, whether it's your trip to Walmart, whether it's going to Culver's for lunch, if the preacher will just finish, all of that is designed for one important thing, so that the world out there would know that through Christ, God is with us. Amen? So, Mary and Joseph, they may not have understood it all, but I just want to point out that God had a plan. And he had all, it's never random. It's never random. Here's number two. Often, the voice of the Holy Spirit challenges normalcy, status quo, and common sense. Now, when I say that, that oftentimes the Holy Spirit trumps, say, status quo, all you analytical folks here would look at me and with a sort of dazed look and say, well, we're not going to do anything until I can figure it out. Now, the church needs folks like that, because some folks like me are just half crazy, and we'll just take a risk to take a risk. We need some of you folks to help to help dial us back a little bit. But I promise you, when Jamie and I were sitting in our living room in Conway, Arkansas, pondering moving everything to come to Indianapolis, Indiana, it did not feel normal. It defied common sense. It was way out of status quo, for sure. And we struggled. So when you look back at the story we're digging out of, here are the words of the angel to Mary. Talk about weird. I mean, if you're her in that moment, angel says to Mary, this is Luke now. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Fine. Okay, great. Mary asked, well, how's this going to happen? I have not been with a man. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come near, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. I got to tell you, if you're married, this is crazy stuff. If you're Tim and Jamie Kellerman, the call of God in our lives was crazy stuff. What is God speaking into you right now that as you ponder it and you think about it and you wonder about it and when you're in your silent place, it sort of seeps back in, you know, that's a pretty good sign. And you look at that or you think about that, you talk to your spouse maybe if you're married about it, if you're married, you talk to them about it, and you look at that and you think, this is the craziest thing ever. I'm just going from church to church these days, telling our people that we serve a great God, and most of what he's going to tell us in these days defies what we call normal. I mean, he's calling us, and he's not calling us to be stupid, thank the Lord, but he's challenging us to break out of the status quo. I got to thinking, mentally, going through Scripture, the Bible is full of stuff like this. Moses and the burning bush. I mean, we've read it all of our lives, right? So it seems normal. I promise you, it wasn't normal to Moses. Noah and the ark. Noah, why don't you go out and build this boat? It's fixing to rain. Can I say fixing in Middletown? Thank you. It's never rained before. What's a boat anyways? Abraham and the great relocation. Abraham, pack your family up, all your people, all your stuff, and just go until I tell you to stop. David, from shepherd to a king. Paul on the road to Damascus. I don't have anything to add here except just to remind you that oftentimes when the Holy Spirit is speaking, we can disregard his voice because it is way off of our comfort and understanding. And I just want to say, just pay closer attention. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Number three, here we go. Often, the voice of the Holy Spirit brings new light on our understanding of Scripture, but it will never contradict it. Let me say it again. Often, the voice of the Holy Spirit brings new light to our understanding of Scripture, but it will never contradict it. You know, I don't want to get too far in the brushes here, as we say about rambling preachers, but part of my gripe these days is there are folks who are using one or two verses, proof texting, cultural positions. They say, we've gotten new light. And they tout new light, but the reality is those new enlightenments are not consistent with the whole of Scripture. You know what I'm talking about? We can't proof text our way through life. And when we do, if we find a verse, we better understand that God never contradicts his word. And from Genesis to Revelation, there is a thread all the way through that is completely consistent. And the church better pay attention to it. Amen? Come on. And I know you get that. But here's what Mary and Joseph were dealing with. Joseph particularly. Look at verse 19, Matthew 1. We read this, that Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. So Joseph was a good Jewish law-abiding citizen. He wouldn't think of moving against the grain of God's word, God's law. And so it is because of his obedience to the law that he decided to divorce Mary. And thankfully, he was a spirit-filled enough in that context that he's wanting to do it quietly because he understood that it could have cost Mary her life, right? You all understand, culturally, Mary could have been stoned for being pregnant out of wedlock. So we have to give Joseph some credit here. He's just doing what a law-abiding Jewish man would do. But then the Holy Spirit spoke through the angel and reminded him and showed him that, yes, that is something, these are my words, yes, that is something that the law allows you to do. But listen, there was a prophet who talked to the world about the coming Messiah. And I want you to know, Joseph, that that's what I'm talking about. And so I want you to hang on to Mary and marry her because it will be consistent. I know this is new light to you, but this is consistent with the Word of God, the totality of God's Word. You understand that? So sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own understanding of what things have meant that when God begins to speak to us, like when I was a young person going to Olivet Nazarene University, God called me to preach. I don't want to preach. I didn't want to do what my dad did. I certainly didn't want to be a missionary. You got to be careful what you say no to God about. But I wanted to be obedient to the Lord, so I wanted to be, well, back then it was called a minister of music, right? That was now we're worship pastors. I was going to serve God. I was going to, get ordained, be a worship leader and all that stuff, and serve God and be faithful and all of that. But that's not what God called me to do. And in time of prayer and seeking the Lord, God began to enlighten me through Scripture on things that he needed me to know, that yes, I was being obedient to, say, the call of the kingdom to serve, but the Holy Spirit began to show me that he had more for me to do beyond leading music. Probably the big thing was that I wouldn't have been able to do it very well, and he was saving like hundreds of people. But he began to show me through his word, enlighten me, lifted up my eyes so that I can begin to discern that his call for me, consistent in Scripture, was different. I'll go ahead and mention. There's just some biblical examples. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. Remember the story of Peter on the rooftop? And that sheet of food came down? Like lunch came down? Wouldn't that be awesome? It was a dream, so it wasn't real, right? But and in that dream, God said, and it was full of unclean food. You can read about it. Acts chapter 10. And what did God tell Peter to do with that food? Yeah. Eat that stuff. And Peter said, not going to do it. I can't. The law forbids me. So he was just being a law-abiding, God-following servant of the Lord. But as I said earlier, God had a plan. It wasn't random. You know the story. What was God's plan for Peter? God's plan for Peter was to get into the house of a Gentile and preach to them the good news of Jesus Christ so that the Gentiles could hear the gospel. Amen? We're talking about the voice of God, the Holy Spirit, whatever, however you want to use it. And so we have Peter. He was following the law, but the Holy Spirit began to enlighten him, but it was consistent. Here's some negatives. I don't want to get down into the brushes with this, but here's some thoughts. centuries, at least in this country, more hundreds of centuries, folks have used the Bible to support slavery. And we all know that while there might be a few verses that would make folks think, well, that's the thing to do, we understand that that is not consistent with the Word of God. How about the subjugation of women as second-class citizens? I've heard folks preach that women aren't and should not be allowed up on a platform preaching the Word of God. But I am thankful for leaders like Kirsten, who is out, women who are serving God, preaching. In the Church of the Nazarene, we understand that you can't proof text that away. It is consistent from Genesis to Revelation that God has a place for women in ministry. That should be a loud amen on all of our parts. And I grew up, as a missionary kid, as you know, and you know, I'm 61, and I thank God for my parents. They helped me navigate legalism, but some of us here know what it's like to grow up in a legalistic atmosphere where you couldn't go and do, be, couldn't dress, you couldn't, you know, I mean, you could dress, but a certain way, right? I want you to make sure I said that right. there are people today who are still in bondage to legalism because they were brought under a system that you had all this line of boxes to check, and you could never, ever check all the boxes until we understood that, yes, God has a moral code, but our freedom is not found in checking boxes. Our freedom is found in deliverance through Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyways, you get where I'm going. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, as He speaks, will begin to shift how God is speaking through His Word, but make sure it's consistent. Here's number four. We've got to hurry. Often the voice of the Holy Spirit challenges public opinion. If I could get every young person I could, just get them all in front of me. Not just young folks, but everyone, but our students and young adults. And just tell them God is looking for a people. God is looking for a new generation who have the boldness of Christ and who are willing to stand up for Christ even when public opinion fights against them. We need pastors to have courage. So, verse 19, Joseph did not want to expose her to public disgrace. I've already mentioned this, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but public opinion would have been on Joseph's side to get rid of Mary. But the Holy Spirit began to speak and work, and Mary and Joseph knew that in spite of public opinion, they had to do what God called them to do. God is always up to something. The work of the Lord in this day and age will be countercultural. And it is one of the greatest opportunities for the church to be the church, because God, the Holy Spirit generally works not in the natural, but the supernatural. Do you believe that God still does miracles? I am not a secessionist, which believes that all the miracles are in the New Testament and it's all done and we're on our own. I tell you what, I have seen enough miracles in my lifetime to know that God is still at work. Amen? I'm one of those guys that just believes we ought to pray all the time that God will do the supernatural in our children, in our marriages, in our community. I'm just one of those guys that believes that God is not done. But he's going to work in the supernatural. His voice, His direction will always push us. And our problem, our temptation is to convert the supernatural treasure into human currency. Right? Human logic, order, propriety, human standards, personal comfort. And God's going, listen, just step out on the water and let me show you how I can help you walk. Lay into the Red Sea. Just take a step. I've got an awesome sermon about that. It's God's sermon, but the faith that it took to step in the water and see the Red Sea. God's looking for a bunch of people who are willing to trust God so much that they're going to take a step and just trust God because there's no other way it's going to happen. Whew. I don't know about you, but this is good preaching this morning. Here's number five. Always, 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 the Holy Spirit requires our full surrender. Always. Full surrender. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. After all that conversation with the angel, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. As the angel of the Lord commanded, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Can I just encourage you this morning? I know some of this was challenging. I hope it's been. It always is for me, but can I just encourage you this morning? That when God speaks, when the Holy Spirit speaks, He doesn't use the voice of guilt or shame or regret or condemnation. He doesn't operate in those voices. He'll challenge us. He'll get us in the Word. He'll cause us, give us a hunger to learn more. And the Holy Spirit's doing that in this day and age. He's working on some of your hearts right here. You may be so settled in what you're doing, and there's no guilt in being settled. I mean, if you're right where God wants you to be and you have peace about that, wonderful. Do it with all your heart. But if God's got you moving a little bit, and he's nudging you, trust him. Just trust him. Could be talking to someone that doesn't know Jesus, and you've been weighing that. It's like, oh, how do I do that? Could be some ministry. I don't want to give a hypothetical. I've got a couple of questions. Could you stand with me, please, as we begin to close this down? I'm going to open up the altars in just a moment. But here's a couple of questions. Has the Spirit been speaking or leading you in a way that's challenging normal, complacency, common sense, your calendar? Number two, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you and you sense that he's got a plan? And you don't have to all have it all figured out, but you want to understand the plan better. Has the Spirit been shining light on Scripture in a different way? Or maybe you're taking a position on a couple of verses, but you're unsure, and you need to dig in deeper and make sure that it's consistent from cover to cover in the Bible. Has the Holy Spirit been challenging you in a way that will challenge or confront public opinion? Like he's put something in your heart, and you know it might be hard to talk or to do or to be. Are you fully surrendered to him this morning? Would you say like Mary, well, God, I don't get it all. This is really crazy. But God, I'm going to trust you. May it be to me according to your word. So Jesus, as we close this morning and we have a time of response, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to my heart. God, if you need me to answer my own altar call, I will. Because more than anything, I want to be a Mary and Joseph. I know there might be struggles, but at the end of the day, I want to do what you want. And so help us in these moments. So church, if God's dealing with you on any level, the altar is just a place of love and care. Just picture God's arms. It's not a place of judgment. And if you just want to come and talk to him, I know you can talk to him in your seats. But you just want to, you and Jesus, to have a conversation about what he might be saying. These altars are always open.